Something More. Thank you for that song. Amazing. Appreciate our young people and their talent. Today I want to talk to you about... That'll wake you up. I want to talk to you about something more. Something more than just a lunch. I heard a great story of a godly woman who lived in North Carolina up in the hills, and the town was down in the valley. And down in her southern genteel, this elderly Christian lady used to pray. She didn't have much, and she just trusted God. And she would go out and she'd pray out in her back porch, "Oh, God!" And she would just shout, and it would echo through the valley. And she'd cry out for all of her needs. Down in that valley were two young boys. I mean, if it couldn't have been, it had to have been Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. These boys were just as rambunctious as they could be. And down in the valley, they were up to no good all the time. They would hear this old lady crying out to God. One day, they were out there, and they heard her crying out, "Oh, God, please, I got no food, but God, you always..." And she just trusted God. "You always provide, and I know..." And these two boys, one of them elbowed the other one and said, "Hey, you want to have some fun with her?" And they was like, "Yeah, what do you got in mind?" "Let's go get a bunch of groceries and stick them up on her porch and hide. She'll think it was God." And so that's just what they did. And that's just what she did. And it was God. Because you see, God works in the most unusual circumstances, in the craziest ways, when we don't even see it. And that's what we're talking about this morning with a little boy's lunch pail. I can't imagine what his day was like when he started out this morning. His mom said, "There you go," had him all dressed up. You know, moms, when you're... Well, actually, it's maybe... I don't know what it's like at your house. Okay, we got... Well, we had five going to school. Now we got four. And we got high school, middle school, and elementary school. So around our house, it's three different bus schedules. Actually, it's two bus schedules. The other ones have to get rides. And depending on if they get the ride. So I don't know what your house is like in the morning, but it's, here's your lunch, you know, and out you go. Or hot meals, which is a blessing. You know, here's your lunch. Here's a buck and a half, whatever. Go. And so this little boy made his way, and there he was, walking with his lunch. And somewhere along the line, he's going to the place where I think kids went. I don't know. I don't know much about this story. We don't know. It's found in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's one of the only stories that all four disciples record. You know how they do that? Some will be in Matthew, sometimes will be in Mark. This one is on all four Gospels. Very important story. The feeding of the 5,000. And this boy's going along, and pretty soon he sees this huge crowd. And you know, like little boys would be, the curiosity. He's not making it to school today. Because there's 5,000 people. And people want to be around people. I mean, the Detroit Tigers last night, there's 40,000 or whatever, 50,000 people in the stadium. And they said there was more than that outside the stadium. Because people just want to be around people. It's a crowd. So this little boy sees a crowd. He makes his way up there, and he's got his little lunch. And they've been there a while, so I don't know what time this was. Maybe the boy was on lunch break. Maybe he was just going out to get a bite to eat. He was going out to open up his lunch, and all of a sudden he hears this. "Blessed are the hungry." "I got something to eat, you know?" And off he goes. And Jesus is doing the sermon up there. He's teaching. And he walks up, and Jesus is already working it. Can I tell you something? Jesus was already working it. As 5,000 people are there, Jesus turns to one of his disciples. He says, "Have the people sit down and give them something to eat." And he only said this to test them. For he already knew in his mind what he would do, is what the scripture says. And I love it. The disciple says, "But Lord, have them sit down and feed them?" What? What are we going to feed them? The miracle was already there. They just didn't see it. In your life, I want to say this with all confidence. I have really thought this through. I thought, maybe I'll just say, sometimes your miracle is there. Once in a while, God will provide a miracle. I don't want to say it that way. Your miracle is already in your life. You just need to see it. How many of you are looking for a miracle in your life? You're looking for a miracle. You've been looking for a miracle. You're waiting for miracles to happen. Maybe you've never seen a miracle and you say, "I just want to see a miracle." How many of you would love to see a miracle in your life? All right. And the rest of you, that's okay. I know you're raising your hand like this. Okay. We all want to see miracles. I mean, come on. I mean, we go down to the funeral home and Jesus shows up. How many of you don't want to see Jesus show up? I mean, wouldn't that... Or at the hospital. He just starts walking through the ICU. You hear Jesus is in town and he's at the ICU at Port Huron Hospital or Mercy. Now I know where you're going to be. You get wind of this, I'm telling you, they can't fit them all in there. Because we want to see what he's going to do. Could you imagine walking through? He just starts walking through the hospital. Boom, boom, boom. People are like, hey, I'm out of here. Wait. You got to pay your bill. Oh, no. You need a wheelchair. Wheelchair, nothing. I'm dancing out of here. We want to see that. Yeah. I want to see that. You want to see that. He's like, yeah, amen. I like this. You got the best seats, and this didn't cost you $8,000. So you can watch the Tigers lose for $8,000, or you can hear about Jesus for free, front row. A miracle in your life. I want you to know that the reason that we don't see miracles is oftentimes we don't look in the right place for the miracle. I want you to know that whatever miracle you're looking for, God has already provided it and it's in your life. You just don't see it. You know what we tend to do? We tend to look at ourselves for the miracle. How are we going to pay these bills? Lord, how am I going to do this? And the first thing we do is we look, not for the miracle, we look at the checkbook. Now, I'm not telling you not to look at your checkbook. I know you do that enough. And then you look at it again. Come here, you got to see this. Then you bring your spouse in. Oh, and then you look at it again. Not that we don't do those things. Those are things that you do. You need to plan and you need to organize. And then we look and we say, okay, Lord, I see the problem, the doctor's report. And we look at it. And we look at it again. Most of the time we look with our own eyes. But the miracle is already there. I know God is doing a miracle. Our God is a God that said, and He promised us that He would do this. He said, if you don't believe me, at least believe the signs and the wonders. At least look at the miracles. I'm talking about miracles this morning because a little boy walks up with his lunch not knowing that he was the miracle. He just showed up because God always provides the miracle. We just don't know where to look. And I can tell you why we don't know where to look. Because you know what they said? They counted 5,000 people got fed that day, right? Wrong. You see, because we start looking at what we can see. We look with our eyes. I start looking around. I go, oh, about 5,000 people. They did not count the women and the children. They were there too, and they ate too. See, they just didn't count them because they weren't to be counted during those days. There was probably about 15,000 people if you had one spouse and one child. There could have been a whole lot more than that. The miracle is happening. And nobody's looking at the right place. They're looking at the men for the miracle. And then he says to his disciples, let's feed everyone. And the disciples say, feed everyone. It'll take 8 months' wages for everybody to even have one bite. Where were we looking? Can I tell you, if you're looking for a miracle, you need to look in the oddest places. You need to look in the oddest places for your miracles. What's the odd place of your life? I don't know what that is. But we need to start looking around and say, well, here's the miracle. It's going to happen. But stop looking with our eyes. I want you to look with the eyes of God for the miracle. And those are the oddities in this story. If you have your Bibles, open up to John chapter 6. I did give Bev, I apologize, Bev, chapter 4. Although we could talk about, I think, the woman at the well again. We're just going right on from miracle to miracle. In John chapter 6, I want to show you the oddities in this story. And maybe you've read this and you've never seen it before. But the first thing that happens, the odd thing, is this. Verse 7, Philip looks with his eyes, and Jesus is saying, Philip, I don't want you to look with your eyes, I want you to have the eyes of God. And so here's the first eye. The first eye is this. It's I Spy. You ever play I Spy? We traveled to South Dakota. My family couldn't live any further away. I mean, to South Dakota, 18 hours one way. And all the road trips I usually do with the youth group is never close. Wyoming, 24 hours. Tennessee, 15 hours, or where, depending on where we're going, or when I'm driving, depends on how long it takes. But inevitably, you start playing this game, you hear someone say, I spy something green, I spy something blue, I spy something jagged, I spy something huge, and you start playing I Spy. Here's the first eye to have the eyes of God. We need to play I Spy. God is saying, I see something, it's called a miracle. And Philip is going, I love this, Philip is going, he's playing I Spy with God, with Jesus. He goes, is it our checkbook? Is it our bag of money? No, I spy a miracle. And God says you need to start spying the things that I'm spying. You need to start seeing things that I'm seeing. Look at verse 7. Here's what we see. Philip answered, 8 months' wages. That's human ingenuity. I can do this. I got 8 months' wages. If we just got somebody rich, we could build a building. If I just had another job, I would be happy. If I could just do this, our marriage would make it. And God says, you're spying, but are you spying? Are you finding it? Because I've already placed a miracle in your life. If you trust the miracle, it's already there before you even show up. These 5,000 people, you don't think Jesus knew this little boy was going to be on his lunch break? 5,000 hungry men and women and children included. And here's the I spy. 8 months' wages, here's the answer, the very next verse. He says, Simon Peter, he spies something. He goes, I spy, here's a boy. Do you see that in verse 8? Here's a boy. I love that. Here's a boy. Could you imagine the other disciples going, we don't count children and women. They didn't. It's not, not that, women and children, not that it wasn't important. It just wasn't done. The men were in charge. They were to take care of the numbers. And if the man had things in order, then his women and the wife and the kids were in order, okay? Not that women weren't important in the Bible. Get this. Because sometimes people say, well, you know, that Christianity, it's just a chauvinist religion because they just don't put women in their place, or they put women in their place, maybe. It's not a chauvinistic religion. It says, men, if you get in your place, your wives will be in their place and your children. Men, you have a high role and responsibility here. So they're counting the men, and they're not looking for a kid for the miracle. They're looking to their own strength. They're looking to their own wallets. And I love this. Here comes the miracle. It's a little boy. Can I tell you, I do this too. I don't know about you men, but I tend to look at my own ingenuity. This week it happened to me twice. God gave me two miracles this week. And I didn't see it coming. Monday, I'm getting excited. We're going to do our Tuesday night kickoff over here with the youth. We've got flyers out. Last weekend we sent out flyers. We got postcards that are being passed out. We made t-shirts for the kids. With a guy standing there like a Bart Simpson kind of character on a black t-shirt with a white caricature, and he's pointing at a toilet going, you got to see this. And on the back it says, go to thejohn.com. Kids are wearing this. I'm thinking, people are going to stop and ask these kids. They're going to want to know this Tuesday night thing. Monday, I'm at the hospital visiting after my wife's surgery. She's resting. I said, I'm going to run to the hospital because one of our guys, his mom's in there, and I just want to go pray. And so I go over there to pray with him, and I'm sitting there talking, and the guy's dad's in there who's on the Youth for Christ banquet. As I'm talking to him, we're talking about the kickoff, and he says, oh, where are you doing that? I said, well, we've got the Wadham's Crystal Gardens rented. We're renting that now. Oh. I said, well, where are you guys having your Youth for Christ banquet this week? I've been to it a couple times, several times. I said, you usually have it there. Where are you guys having it this year? He goes, Wadham's Crystal Garden. I said, when? Tuesday night. I said, no, Tuesday night's our big kickoff. No, that's our big annual celebration. I went, oh, we're in trouble. So we called the owners. They said, yeah, we double booked. I went, oh. She goes, well, you can have the small side. They're going to have the big side. I said, oh, no. With the youth in here, that probably wouldn't be good. We'll move our date. And I'm thinking, oh, great. We're on the phone. Am I going to catch everybody? Yes, no, maybe. Stress level went from here. You ever been there? To here. I'm getting phone calls Tuesday night, and I'm thinking Thursday's the only night we can do it. My son's got his last football game. There goes the football team. We're going to buy pizza for them to bring them out, build a lemonade stand. We'll buy the whole team football team pizza if they'll come to youth that night after the game, or on Tuesday night. And now it's going to be the game, and they got to turn. They won't even get here. There goes that outreach. Oh God, this is not going the way I thought. Tuesday, I get a phone call from one of our young men on our leadership team. Drove from Memphis, skipped football in the playoffs. Told his coach, I'm not going to be there. I'm going to youth tonight. Skip football to come to youth. Call me at 4:30. Pastor, I'm here to set up. Where are you? There's people here. Oh, wait. We tried to call you. Do you have an answer machine? Nope, don't have an answer machine. I said, we tried to call you. Did you check your email? I emailed you. Nope, didn't check my email. I said, I'm so sorry. He says, well, I'll just head home, I guess. I said, it's Thursday. Well, I can't be there on Thursday. I'm going, oh, there goes one of my leaders. And this is just being repeated. And I'm going, this isn't going well. In the meantime, my wife's van breaks down to haul the football team and to haul kids. And we're down to my little Buick Skylark that can't fit my family in it. And I'm going, oh, great, God. You ever feel, I don't know if you've ever been there. Stress level goes here. And I'm thinking, great, okay, this is going to be Thursday night. Okay, I got band practice, got music practice for this morning on Wednesday night. Got this, going to figure out what to do. Susan, how are we going to get the football team? I come home, the football team, I'm going to go to part of the game at four, his last football game. At five, I'm going to get back over here and set up for Thursday night. My wife's got to get going. We don't have the vehicle. I don't know how we're going to do that. So we're just scrambling. We're traveling. We're doing this. We're doing that. It's a mess. I come home at 3 from running around, And there's my wife. She's trying to get out the door. And there's my 5-year-old daughter, or 6-year-old daughter. I said, what are you going to do with her? She goes, oh, I don't know. I said, well, I got to go and you're leaving. Oh, yeah, we ought to take her, one of us. I mean, this is how the stress level. One of the gals of our church, Lenora, comes in. Oh, hey, look. Oh, that's okay. He's so excited. He wants to come up and preach with me. He was doing fine, though. He said, Projo, TV, Little Mermaid. So what was happening at that point was our stress level had gone to this point where our 6-year-old daughter was sitting there going, this is great. What a mess. Now, she wasn't saying that, but I'm telling you, I don't know if you've ever been there. Things aren't going. I need a miracle right now because things aren't going. Well, one of the families stepped in and said, we will help you. We'll loan you a vehicle for Thursday night. My wife's leaving for the weekend for a conference, and I'm going, this isn't going well. Thursday night, everything's a mess. One of the gals, Lenora, is at our house. She's dropping off a meal for us, which was so sweet. And you'd say the miracle was in the meal, which was great. We didn't have time to eat it. We're on our way out the door. She's standing. She looked at me. She goes, Pastor, is everything okay? And I mean, it's like this. And I was so embarrassed. You know, because you try to keep things together. I said, Susan. And she's like, I can't. Ah! And I went, oh, great. It's falling apart for me. You hold it together. No, we didn't hold it together. And she looks at me and she goes, maybe this is spiritual warfare because of what's happening tonight. And I looked at her and is Lenora here? I have to apologize. I'm so sorry, you were so right. I didn't want to look at the miracle, I wanted to look at myself. And God was speaking and using her. See, we don't look at what's in front of us. I spy, we look at ourselves. And I said, no, it's poor organization on my part. And I walked out. She was right. Thursday night we came in here, 73 teenagers came in here. 12 of them gave their hearts to Christ Thursday night. The whole football team, half the football team came out that night after having to check all their stuff in after the game, after the rain, after all that stuff, they came out here and gave their hearts to Christ. And several of them said, I've never been here, never been to church. I'm coming back every week. Wow, what is this all about? Thank you, that spoke to me. They gave their hearts to Christ. Because the miracle was already there. I just didn't know that God was changing the dates. The next day, I'm going to work on my van. It should be an easy thing. Jump it. I've jumped it 1,000 times. It's firing over. I don't know a bunch about cars. And Cheryl Lee's over there, another gal in our church. And again, I missed the second miracle. And as I'm firing this thing over, and Cheryl, I got to apologize. Because she said, maybe it's the battery. And I said, no, I've charged it several times. I've tried to fire it up and I've drained it 30 times trying to start it up. It's not the battery. See, you don't look at boys for miracles and you don't look at women for mechanic. I wasn't doing this on purpose. I'm just trying to be honest here, okay? If you're mad at me, be mad at me. But I can't get the van going. It's got to be the fuel pump. It's acting like no fuel's getting there. So I called the tow truck. They towed it in. I'm thinking, we'll buy a new fuel pump. They got it. They called up an hour later, said, we replaced the battery. It was the battery. Stop, John. This is not a time to dance. This isn't a time for amen. You let your wife know. See, we don't look for the miracle. We're looking to ourselves. See, then it's not even a miracle. Would it be a miracle if we could figure it out? Isn't that what makes a miracle? Is that we just have no idea how it happened, but there it is. Here's this lady standing there going, it's the battery. And I'm going, what? And here's somebody else going, it's spiritual warfare because maybe God wanted this thing moved. Relax and trust in the Lord. I want to save some people who couldn't be here Tuesday night. Now they're here Thursday night. Trust me. And you needed the 2 extra days anyway because the sermon wasn't going to be that good. I don't know, but God gave me 2 extra days, and He gave me my miracle. You see, you got to look in the odd places. Now, I'm not saying that Cheryl and Lenora were in the odd places, but it was dropping off a meal and just stopping by and then just making a whimsical comment of, it's your battery. Can I tell you something? That's not where I was expecting the miracle. I was expecting the miracle to be right in front of me to start the thing up, to crank it up and go, there it is. I fixed it. That's not a miracle. That's human ingenuity. That's self. And God said, you're so out of your league here. I'm going to send someone to you and tell you what's wrong. And He did. He did. And God does that. The miracle's already there. The second oddity is this. By the way, if you want to know what gets in the way, here's what gets in the way of that first oddity. God puts odd things in our lives. You know what we always do? Yeah, but. I don't know, have you ever done that? God puts something in your life and you do this. Well, yeah, but. And when she said the thing about the spiritual thing and the thing about the battery, I went, well, yeah, but it's not that. I'm serious. The miracles are stopped because we have our big butt right there. We do. It's true. We put it right in the way. And if we would just get the butt out of the way, it would be okay. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm not trying to be disrespectful here. I'm serious. We put this, and the disciples looked and they said, yep, he's got his lunch, but how far will that go? And that's where it went. I heard about a guy who was down in the flood. It was raining so heavy, and they sent a car to evacuate people. And I've been there in floods, and I've seen people. I've tried to evacuate people. It's amazing that they'll sit there. I remember a huge flood coming and split the city. The water was 22 feet above flood stage. And I watched people sitting in their lawn chair saying, "Ah, we're going to ride this one out," drinking their beer. And I'm thinking, wow, welcome to the days of Noah. I was there, my wife and I, in a flood in Oklahoma. It split the city in half for 2 weeks. I watched houses float down the river. It was amazing. And there was a guy that was in a flood like that, and they sent a car to him. He says, "Nope, I'm a Christian. God's going to do a miracle." So the car, the emergency vehicle left. And then pretty soon a boat came along because he was up on the second floor. The water stage had risen. It was in his house now. And here comes this guy in one of those little boats. He says, "Hey, hop in. We'll rescue you." Because there was the guy out his second story window. He says, No, I'm okay. This is good. I'm a Christian. I trust God. He's going to send me a miracle. Pretty soon he's up on his roof and here comes the helicopter, you know, the guard, the Coast Guard. Nope, go away. Trust in God. Guy drowns. Drowns trusting God. Yeah, he's got it. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. He's standing there in heaven and the guy looks at God and says, What'd you do? I trust in you. I'm a Christian. He says, "I sent you a car, a boat, a helicopter. What more do you want?" The miracle's right there. Sometimes we just tend to just go, nope, I spy. No, we don't I spy. The second thing we need to eye is eyesight. Can I show you the miracle within the miracle? Look at the scripture. It says in verse 10, Jesus said, "Have the people do what? Do you need to sit down to eat on a mountainside?" I don't know. It'd probably be a whole lot easier if you sat down. And he wanted to get them into groups of probably 50 so they can count them one. That's probably how they count them. They sat them down in groups of 50. And so there was 100 groups of 50, plus there were women and children in there. There was a lot of groups. Look what it says. Have the people sit down. What's the very next thing you say? Somebody tell me what they sat on. Plenty of grass. If you read the other Gospels, it says this. And you read it before. It says in verse 3, chapter 6 there, verse 3, it says, "Then Jesus went up to a mountainside and sat down with his disciples." John is the only one that doesn't record the Greek word. He's the only one. I love having the Gospels. You read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all say the same thing. They sat down in a desolate place, a remote place. The Greek word for remote is a place that's barren and laid waste. They're on a mountainside. It's rocky. It's Israel. It's this nasty, dusty, rocky place. The miracle is in the miracle. Not only was he going to do a miracle with the little boy, they sat down on the grass. God is a God that does miracles within miracles. They sat down in plenty of grass. Where did the grass come from? Jesus said, "I just want you to be comfortable when you eat. You need a napkin? You need a pillow?" Is that amazing? Isn't it what we said last week, that God does immeasurably more than you could ever ask or imagine? God does so much more in my life. I ask Him for something to eat, He gives me something to eat, and He gives me a pillow to sit on. I ask Him for finances, and He goes above the finances. I ask Him for a healing, and He does a complete healing. God is a God that does more than we ever ask. And that's the miracle within the miracle. I find that an oddity. I don't know about you, but if you're sitting on the lake and you step out and somebody says, "Walk on water," and you're out in the middle of Lake Huron, and you step out and you're standing on the water and you say, "That's a strange place to put a boulder that weighs 400 tons. Who put a rock out here?" You see, God has already prepared and put things in place so that we can have the miracle within the miracle. I believe God wants to do that in your life. God does exceedingly more than we could ever ask. The kids know this. When I walk around, I go to the mall every once in a while, or any place, I'll be walking along, and I'll stop, Pastor, what are you doing? And I'll reach down and pick it up. I'll find coins everywhere. And I pick them up. And then I look up and I go, yeah, I do. And the kids look at me and go, what are you doing? I said, I'm just answering God. What? You see, wherever I go, God puts little reminders of the miracles within the miracles. Pennies. I heard a story a long time ago. A couple was taking their friends out. They're going in the restaurant, and the guy stopped, and everybody about ran into him, and the wife's like, honey, what are you doing? And the couple's like, what are you doing? He reaches down, and he picks up a penny. He goes, I'm just picking this up. Okay. And they go and they sit down in the restaurant. And this has changed my days, almost every one of my days. Just this one story has changed so much the way I see things. I have eyesight. I'm always looking for the things of God. And the guy's sitting there, and then his friend asks, he says, hey, buddy, what's the deal? Why'd you, a penny, what were you doing picking up a... And he slides it across to him on the table. He says, what does it say? The guy picks it up, and he says, right on the top across there, what does it say? It says, in God we trust. He says, exactly. I don't get it. He said, well, God was asking me today, do you? And I said, yes. God just left that there as a reminder. Every time I see a coin like that somewhere lying around, it's just a reminder to me. I think God just leaves these little messages everywhere. Say, do you trust me? And so when I pick it up, I stop. And I think about my day. I think about what I'm doing. And then I say, yeah, I do. I'm trusting you right now. And so when I walk around, I do that. I just think about that in my day. Because watch, if I don't need God, then what do I need God for? If today my day were to go, and I asked God, I said this to my mom not too long ago, she said, that's one of the best things I've ever heard you say to me in 22 years. Because I preached to my mom a lot. And I said, Mom, I heard about this guy who said he came to America, a little Chinaman that came to America, he got a visa, and he was part of the underground church, he got a work visa, and he came to America, and he was really here not to work, he was here to check out the Church of America and go report to the underground church in China. We don't know how many millions of Christians there are in China, because you get put to death and in prison in China still today, okay? It just doesn't happen. And so, this guy got a visa, he's over here, they wanted to know what's happening in America, the Christian nation. The guy goes back and he reports and he writes these words. I was amazed at the Church of America because they don't need God to do church. I said, that's huge. Let me ask you this. And I said that to my mom. I go, Mom, honestly, if we just said today, on Sunday, October 22nd, God, sit today out. I don't need you. Would your life be any different? Would anything really change today in your life if God weren't in it? And that to me is faith. That to me is, do I need the little lunch? Do I need the miracles of God in my life? Every day I say, God, I need you today. I need you to keep me pure, to keep me holy. I need you to keep me, to help me to be a good husband. Not that I'm doing a great job at it. I need you to help me to be a good father. Not that I'm doing a great job at it. But God, I need you, because without your grace, I would probably just do things the way the world does. But with you, God, there's so much more. And with God today, I say, don't let the sun set on my anger. Honey, let's work out any differences we have in our marriage. With my children, don't exasperate my children. I don't know how many times my wife and I talk about that, or she says to me, don't exasperate your kids. I need God every day of my life. I don't know how many times I wake up in the morning and think the first thought in my mind is, God, I wonder what you're going to do today. What are you going to do today? Can I be a part of a miracle today? And so I grab my lunchbox. And I head out. Because you see, that's an oddity right there. Grass? Can I tell you, God puts an oasis in your desert. God puts oases out there, just little moments, right in the middle of... Can I tell you, we all have deserts. God didn't say, hey, no desert. You're not walking through a desert. He says, you're going to have a desert, but I'll put oasis in your desert. I'll give you moments where you can stop and go, oh, this was such a great moment. You've had great moments with God. You've had great moments in your marriage. You've had kids. You've had great moments in your life with your parents. Find those great moments and enjoy God. He's got another oasis. If you just get the eyesight and you just spy it out, God will give it to you. The last thing is this. Let me wrap this up with this. The last I, and I love this. This is my favorite oddity. The strangest thing in this whole story is found in verse 12. Look in there, it says, when they had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, and this isn't the odd part. I'm sorry, let's go right above that. Verse 11. This is the part that's not odd. Jesus then took the loaves and he did what? He gave thanks. Hey, we can all do that. Thank you, Lord, for this food. I mean, I learned this when I was 5 years old. Come, Lord Jesus, and be our guest, and let this food to us be blessed. Amen. I mean, that was a prayer we prayed every single meal that we prayed at. That was our prayer. Some of you know that prayer. I learned that prayer. It's easy to give thanks. Thanks be to God. Thank you. I mean, in fact, Jesus probably prayed something like this. Baruchatai Adonai. And he probably said, blessed be the Lord our God, maker of heaven and earth. And he probably prayed the prayer that they learned. It was the same prayer, and they all knew it. And if Avery Nelson was here, I was going to have him do that. Because he speaks that Hebrew. He knows that prayer because his dad has taught him that. It's a Jewish prayer to give thanks unto God for the food that we're about to... Nothing on about that. Thank you, God. And the disciples are going, 5 loaves, 2 fish, 15,000 people. Well, the men will eat first. And then they'll get it, and then they'll figure out how to give it. Do I give it to my wife? Do I give it to my kids? How do I divide up? 15,000. Here's the odd part, that next verse. And let's wrap it up right here. Here's the odd part. It says, when they had all had enough to eat. Now, that's an odd part right there. But it goes on. When they had enough to eat, he said, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. Now, that's odd to me. Because you got a little boy's lunch, and God's saying, Jesus saying, gather up the pieces. Let nothing be wasted. They gathered up. Everybody had enough to eat. They all ate. 15,000 people ate out of this little boy's lunch. 15,000. And then he says, okay, guess what? I got the miracle and the miracle. Gather up what's left over, because that's what he does. And here's the next eye, is the IMAX. You ever been to the IMAX? Those huge, bigger-than-life movies? I saw a Michael Jordan basketball thing one time. The only time I've ever been to an IMAX. It was huge! And they gave us the 3D glasses. So he was running down the court, and it looked like he jumped right off the screen. Oh, I take that back. I saw two. The youth up in Canada's Wonderland. They had a Jurassic Park thing. It was on this IMAX thing, and the giant bugs and the monsters. And we're doing this. We're doing this. I'm not kidding you, because the thing like came out at you. That's an IMAX. Can I tell you something? God's miracle will come out at you in an IMAX. God wants to max out His miracles in our lives. He says, not only is the miracle happening, but when it's all said and done, this little boy takes his lunch pot, and he gathers it up, and he goes home. Mom! Hey, Mom! How was school today? Mom! Get out here! And I can imagine in those days, she probably didn't pack a whole lot because they probably didn't have a whole lot. So whatever she put in there, that's what she put in there. That was his deal. And so he comes in, he's like, Mom! And she goes, where did you steal that from? Or, yeah, where have you been? He says, Mom, I've been with Jesus. And that's all, people knew Jesus. That's all she needed. You've been with Jesus. Look what Jesus does. He is to the max. He is. That's my eye, is Jesus is to the max. Jesus does everything over and above. We give God a lunchbox, and God gives us a buffet. I have a little something in here that I brought this morning. A sobbing little girl was standing outside of a church one Sunday morning. This is a true story. She's crying her eyes out, and the pastor was passing by during Sunday school before service, and he saw the little girl crying. He went up and says, why are you crying? And he noticed that she was shabby and unkempt, very poor family, very poor, inner city of Philadelphia. And he looked at her, and she said, they won't let me in Sunday school class. They said there's no room. The kids said there's no room in the classroom for me. As he looked at her and he could kind of smell and see, he'd never seen her before, but he kind of figured what was going on, you know, kids can be. So he took her by the hand. He says, honey, there's room. Come on with me. He takes her in the Sunday school class, and he goes in and introduces her, and she sits down and she has enough room. She looks around that day, and she gets to hear about Jesus. She becomes a Christian, and then in her life, she was so happy that first night, when she went home, she said, God, I'm going to save up some money. I'm going to find... She went to bed that night thinking of the children who would have no place to worship Jesus. Some 2 years later, this little girl lay dead in one of the poorest housing complexes in the city. The parents called the kind-hearted pastor who had befriended their daughter to handle the final arrangements. As her poor little body was being moved, a worn and crumpled purse was found underneath of her. A little red purse, which seemed to have been rummaged from some trash dump. Inside was found 57 cents and a little note. And here's what it said. Here's what it was. In her little scribbled handwriting, "This is to help build the little church bigger so more children can go to Sunday school." For 2 years, she had saved for this offering of love 57 cents. When the pastor tearfully read that note, he knew instantly what he would do. He carried the note and the cracked little red pocketbook to the pulpit, and he told this unselfish story of love and devotion. He challenged his deacons to get busy and raise enough money for a larger building. But the story doesn't end there. A newspaper heard about the story and they published it. It was read by a realtor who offered them a parcel of land worth many thousands of dollars. And when told that the church could not pay so much money for that land, the realtor gave it to him for 57 cents. It doesn't end there. Church members made large donations. Checks came from far and wide as the story was circulated in the newspaper. Within 5 years, the little girl's gift had increased to $250,000. This is in 1895. That's worth millions. Her unselfish love had paid large dividends. When you're in the city of Philadelphia, look up the Temple Baptist Church with a seating capacity of 3,300. And the Temple University, where hundreds of students are trained. Have a look, too, at the Good Samaritan Hospital at a Sunday school building, which is inside of it, which houses hundreds of Sunday schoolers so that no child in the area will ever be left outside during Sunday school time. In one of the rooms of this building may be seen the picture of the sweet face of that little girl whose 57 cents so sacrificially gave made such remarkable history. Alongside of its portrait of her, is her kind pastor, Dr. Russell Conwell, author of the book Acres of Diamonds. You see that little girl, 57 cents. The miracle was already there. Could you imagine the board every Sunday or every Tuesday talking about the finances? Talking about, are we going to have room to grow? Well, we ought to look, pastor, at doing a capital stewardship campaign. No, the miracle's sitting right there. She's about 6 years old, and she's unkempt, she's poor, and she has 57 cents. You see, God has already placed the miracles in our lives. It's in the lunch boxes of our lives. Have you offered God lunch today? Have you ever bought God a Happy Meal? What's in your wallet? What's in my wallet is the faith that miracles are in our lives every day. I want to get out of that boat, and I want to see a miracle today. How about you? Let's pray. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, you are so good to us. Thank you for the story of this little boy. We'll never know his name. We'll never know what it was like when he went home or when he grew up. We don't know if he helped start churches with Paul or Peter or the apostles. We don't know if he gave his life for Christ in a time when Christians were put to death. We don't know if in Rome that Nero took him and he was one of the families that were dipped in oil and used as candles around pool parties as Christians were burned alive just to celebrate parties for the emperor of Rome. God, we don't know about this little boy, but what we do know 2,000 years later is he was a miracle. God, may we find the miracles or be the miracles to people around us. They're already there. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. And now our benediction, Father, as you told us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, let this be our benediction as we leave this place. Now faith is the evidence of things unseen and the certainty of things hoped for. And without faith, it is impossible to please God and make Him happy. And so, God, we leave this place to make you happy. May we exercise faith, not in what is seen, but may we have the eyes of God. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, Amen. God bless.